So the reading this morning is from 2 Kings, chapter 1 on page 368. After Ahab's death, Moab rebelled against Israel. Now Ahaziah had fallen through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and injured himself. So he sent messengers saying to them, "Go and consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to see if I will recover from this injury." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Go up and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask them, 'Is it because there's no God in Israel that you're going off to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron?' Therefore, this is what the Lord says, 'You will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die.'" So Elijah went. When the messengers returned to the king, he asked them, "Why have you come back?" "A man came to meet us," they replied, "and he said to us, 'Go back to the king who sent you and tell him, this is what the Lord says, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending men to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, you will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die.'" The king asked them, "What kind of man was it who came to meet you and told you this?" They replied, "He was a man with a garment of hair and with a leather belt round his waist." The king said, "That was Elijah the Tishbite." Then he sent to Elijah a captain with his company of 50 men. The captain went up to Elijah, who was sitting on top of the hill, and said to him, "Man of God, the king says, come down." Elijah answered the captain, "If I am a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." Then the fire fell from heaven and consumed the captain and his men. At this, the king sent to Elijah another captain with his 50 men. The captain said to him, "Man of God, this is what the king says, come down at once." "If I'm a man of God," Elijah replied, "may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." Then the fire of God fell from heaven and consumed him and his 50 men. So the king sent a third captain with his 50 men. This third captain went up and fell on his knees before Elijah. "Man of God," he begged, "please have respect for my life and the lives of these 50 men, your servants. See, the fire has fallen from heaven and consumed the first two captains and all their men. But now have respect for my life." The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, "Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him." So Elijah got up and went down with him to the king. He told the king, "This is what the Lord says. Is it because there is no God in Israel for you to consult that you have sent messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Because you have done this, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die." So he died according to the word of the Lord that Elijah had spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Before we dive into today's passage, I want you all to join this activity. I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. And in your mind's eye, picture a time when something went wrong in your life. It could be illness. It could be related to work. It could be a mistake you made. Or it could be a mistake made by someone else. Or it could be something happened at school. In that moment, where did you turn for peace, for hope, and for guidance? So open your eyes. Hopefully you have your answer. But normally our first response often reveals where our heart is, what and who we really trust. What is that really for you? And this is exactly the question King Ahaziah had to answer in 2 Kings chapter 1. Before we dive into the story, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. As we listen today, please open our hearts and minds. Help us to understand what you are teaching us and to trust you above everything else. May your Holy Spirit speak to each one of us and help us to respond with humble and obedient heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the story begins with King Ahaziah. Who is he? And the Bible tells us that last few verses in 1 Kings that Ahaziah was the son of Ahab and Jezebel. Do you remember who is King Ahab? Yeah? He is the king of Israel. If we think that Israel have a worse king, like the Premier League table, probably Ahab will be Manchester City, who is very near to the top. But instead of leading God's people to trust the Lord, he married Jezebel, brought Baal worships into Israel, attacking God's prophets, took Naboth's vineyards by force, and again refused to listen to God's word. Israel was meant to be the nation that knew the true and living God. But under Ahab, they kept turning away from him and looking elsewhere. Now, Ahab is dead, and his son, Ahaziah, becomes the king. The question is, has anything really changed? When troubles come, where will Israel kings turn to? And I'm going to divide this sermon into four parts. So verse 1 and 2, and then verse 3 to 8, verse 9 to 15, and finally 16 to 17. And now let's begin with the first part, verse 1 and 2. And the title I gave is Looking for Help in Wrong Place. Let's take a look in verse 1 and 2. One day, Ahaziah fell through the lattice of his upper room and was seriously injured. He did not know whether he would recover. When people become seriously ill, they often begin to think about God. Even people who usually ignore God may start praying. Difficult times often remind us that we are weak and that we need help. Now think about this for a moment. Who should the king of Israel ask? The answer is obvious. He should ask the Lord, the God who has rescued Israel from Egypt, the God who has provided for his people, and the God who has defeated the prophet of Baal on Mount Carmel through Elijah. This should be the obvious answer. However, Ahaziah did something very different. Instead of asking the Lord, the God of Israel, he sent messengers to ask Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, about whether he could recover or not. In verse 2, we can see Ahaziah speak to the messenger and say, "Go and consult Baal-zebub, the king of Ekron." The word consult here does not mean asking for medical advice like visiting a doctor. There is nothing wrong if you go to see a doctor. God has given wisdom and skills to doctor to care people. The word consult here means asking for God for supernatural guidance about his future. Ahaziah wants supernatural guidance. But why did he go to Baal-zebub? What is it because he did not know the Lord? Obviously, no. The previous chapter has already told us that he served Baal. That is not a sudden decision made. This is his usual way of life. His idolatry was not caused by ignorance. It was caused by preferences. He had already decided that Baal would be his God. His action is a public rejection to the Lord. When the king of Israel sent a messenger to Philistine city to ask a foreign god for help, he is saying something without using words. He is saying, Israel has no God. He is saying, the Lord is not enough. We may think that I would never do that. I would never do that. But are we really so different? Most Christians remember God when life becomes difficult. When someone is in hospital, lose their job, or face family problem, many people pray more. But strangely, the greater danger overcomes when life is comfortable. When we have enough money, when our health is acceptable, when our family is doing well, when life feels ordinary, instead of trusting God more, we begin looking for something extra, something that promises more success, more luck, more security, or more control. Without realizing it, our hearts slowly move away from God. And this temptation is still with us today. In my Chinese culture, some people believe feng shui is a traditional Chinese practice that teaches people how to arrange their building, their furniture, their object in certain ways, and it will bring good luck, wealth, or success. Or some may believe in Chinese zodiac, like what you should do in the year of tiger and what you shouldn't do if you are born in the year of rabbit for this year. They believe that the year in which someone is born determines their personality, luck, and future. And some may wear red clothes or red underwear during certain time of the year because they believe it will bring them prosperity or protect them from bad luck. That is in our Chinese culture. But in the Western world, we have similar things. Many people read their daily horoscope, hoping the stars will tell them what lies ahead. They may also believe in crystals and stones. They believe special crystals would hold healing energy and bring them prosperity. And some people are walking under the ladder, crossing paths with a black cat, or breaking a mirror, which they thought would bring them bad luck. This practice seems harmless or simple cultural. But we should ask ourselves two questions. One, who am I trusting? Second, where am I believe my future really comes from? For Christians, our future is not controlled by stars, colors, animals, or lucky objects. Our future is in God's hand. For those who are not Christians, many also look for security in other places. Some believe money will protect them. Some believe education alone will guarantee success. Some trust their own ability. But none of these could save us. Anything we trust more than God becomes an idol. Whenever we turn first to something else instead of God, we are quietly saying something. We are saying to God, God, you are not enough. And this is exactly what Ahaziah Ashen said. When he sent the messengers to Philistine, he acted as if Israel had no God. When he asked Bathsheba, he treated the Lord as though he was absent, powerless, or unimportant. Our actions often speak louder than our words. We may say that we may trust God, or we say that we trust God, but where do we run first? Where do we look first for hope? Where do we place our confidence? That reveals what we truly believe. Here, we come to the second part, verse 3 to 8. And the title I've given is, God's Judgment and a Hard Heart. When Ahaziah publicly rejected the Lord, Lord could not ignore it. The Lord is not just another God among the many gods. He is the Creator. He is the King of Kings. And He alone deserves our worship. And therefore, we can see in verse 3 and 4, God sent Elijah to meet the messengers. And this is the message. Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going off to consult Bathsheba, the God of Ekron? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. You will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die. Some people may think that the judgment sounds too severe. It's too harsh. After all, Ahaziah only asked another God for help. Why God is so serious? Why so serious? However, the answer is found in the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. God has already made His will perfectly clear. This is not simply choosing between two different opinions. This is rejecting the true God. This is breaking the very first commandment. God's people belongs to Him alone. And in verse 5 and 6, the messenger returned and delivered Elijah's message. The message of the judgment has now arrived at Ahaziah. Think about it. If you were Ahaziah, how would you respond? Perhaps you would confess your sins, you would say sorry to God, and you beg for God's mercy, you will repent. But Ahaziah did none of these things. Instead, he tried to arrest Elijah. Why? Why he is trying to arrest Elijah? Because it is often easier to attack God's messenger than to listen to God's word. And people still do it today. When someone points out our sins, we may often become angry with the person instead of dealing with the truth. Imagine a daughter tells a patient that smoking has damaged his lungs. If the patients become angry at the daughter instead of stop smoking, his anger solves nothing. The daughter is not the problem, but the disease is. Elijah was not a Ahaziah problem, but his sins is. And now, the camera shift and we come to part 3. Verse 9 and 15. The title is Proud versus Humble Hearts. We can see that there are three captains come up to the hill with their men to find Elijah, and they receive two different consequences. The first two captains are in one group, and the third one is in another group. The first captain arrived with 50 soldiers, and he said to Elijah, in verse 9, Man of God, the king says, come down. The second captain was even more demanding. He said in verse 11, Man of God, this is what the king says, come down at once. Notice what they're doing. They recognize Elijah as the man of God. That means they understood Elijah represent God. Think about an ambassador. An ambassador represents a country. To insult an ambassador is to insult the nation that sent him. Elijah representing the living God. When these captains ordered Elijah as though God's authority was lower than the king's authority, they were really trying to command God himself. The problem was not simply bad manner. It was rebellion against God's authority. No earthly king has the right to command God. Although we may never speak to Elijah, but we can still treat God in the same way. Sometimes in our prayer sounds more like commands than humble requests. God, give me this. God, fix this now. God, do it my way. Instead of asking, Lord, where is your will? May I submit to your will? Or think about how we treat the Bible. Sometimes we read only the verses we like. We ignore the parts that are challenging us. We obey when it is convenient. We refuse when it is difficult. That is another way of saying, God, you come down to my level. Instead of, God, call us to come under your authority. Because of the first two captains came with proud and rebellions, fire came down from heaven and consumed them and their soldiers. This was not Elijah losing his temper. This was God's judgment. God is defending his holiness. He is showing that his authority cannot be ignored. He was protecting his word and his servants. Then we come to the third captain. Let's see what differences he's made. Verse 13, this third captain went up and fell on his knees before Elijah. He said, man of God, he begged, please have respect for my life and my lives of these 50 men, your servants. See, fire has fallen from heaven and consumed the first two captains and all their men. But now have respect for my life. He did not command Elijah. He fell on his knees. He begged for mercy. He recognized God's authority. He humbled himself. And this time, no fire came. God answered his humble request. What made the difference? Not Elijah, not the soldier. The difference was humility. James tells us in James chapter 4, verse 6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God delights to show mercy to those who humble themselves before him. I imagine some people may feel very sorry for those soldiers. Were they innocent? The Bible reminds us that they were openly participating in the king's rebellion against God. They willingly joined an attack against God's prophet. This passage becomes a warning for every generation. Those who reject, mock, or persecute God's faithful servants are really opposing God himself. Today, Jesus is God's perfect and faithful servant. Those who reject him will one day face judgment. But those who welcome him will receive eternal life and everlasting relationship with God. And now we come to the last part of this passage. Verse 16 to 17. The title is God's Patience and the Good News. One of the most surprising parts of this chapter is God's patience with Ahaziah. God gave him opportunities after opportunity to repent. First, Elijah sent a message, but no repentance. Then, 51 men died, still no repentance. And another 51 men died, still no repentance. Finally, Elijah stood before the king and repeat God's message. Verse 16, he told the king, "This is what the Lord says. Is it because there is no God in Israel for you to consult that you have sent messengers to consult Baal-Zebub, the god of Ekron? Because you have done this, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die." So he died, according to the word of the Lord that Elijah has spoken. God's words always comes true. Ahaziah had many opportunities, but he waived every one. This should make us examine our hearts. God is patient, but we should never assume that we can ignore him forever. Every opportunity to repent is a gift. None of us knows how many opportunities we will receive. Some people imagine they will believe in Jesus later, but later may never come. Today is the day to respond. This passage ends with death. So he died. God's judgment never fail, but neither do his promises. Here is the wonderful news. We are no longer live before the coming of Jesus. We live after Jesus died on the cross and rose again. God's judgment is still real. One day, Jesus will return and he will judge the living and the dead. And that day is certain. But until then, God is showing his patience. This is the word in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Today, we start with a simple question, simple activity. When something goes wrong in your life, who and what do you turn to first? The story of King Ahaziah is a mirror for our own hearts. It asks us if we are living as if God does not exist, putting our trust in other things like money, luck, or our own strength. Ahaziah chose his own way and to refuse the change, which led to his death. But the third captain showed us a better way. He got down on his knees, he humbled himself, and he asked for mercy. God's judgment is real, but his patience is also real. Because Jesus died on the cross for us, we can receive his grace right now. And as you leave today, think about these three things. First, check your hearts. Where do you run first when you're worried or comfortable? If it isn't God, ask him to forgive you. Second, stop commanding God. Don't ask God to follow your plans. Instead, bow before him and say, Lord, your will be done. Lastly, do not wait. Do not put off trusting God until later. Today is the day to turn to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us for the times we treat you as if you were not enough. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your word. And may the Holy Spirit help us to turn to you first in everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.